Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 106 of Blackhawks Banter presented by the Hockey Writers. I'm your host, Brooke Laferno, joined by my colleague, Gail Kowchuk. And I'm really sorry that we missed last week. I was a little under the weather, but now we're back and we got a lot to talk about. The season's kind of starting to dwindle down here. We only got a handful of games left, but like I said, still got a lot to talk about. So before we get into everything, please be sure to follow our Blackhawks Banter podcast on Apple Podcasts and Anchor. New episodes are uploaded on Tuesday mornings. And also, please be sure to follow me and Gail on Twitter. And be sure to follow all of our Blackhawk articles at thehockeywriters.com. All the links will be in the description of this episode on Apple Podcasts. So please be sure to check that out. So all right, let's dive right into everything, Gail. So before we kind of talk about the Blackhawks hockey side of everything, we have to kind of address the elephant in the room with the Blackhawks. So last week, the Blackhawks announced that they would not be wearing their Pride warm-up jerseys against the Vancouver Canucks on March 26, which was their Pride night. They have worn the jerseys in the past, but they cited security issues involving the Russian players on the Blackhawks, as Vladimir Putin issued an anti-LGBTQ plus discrimination law in December. I know we both have strong opinions kind of on this whole thing, so let's just air it out, Gail. How are we feeling about how everything transpired? Obviously, we're recording on Monday. Pride night was last night, and yeah, I think we all wanted more. So let's kind of just air this out. What did you, what, how are you feeling about everything that transpired?
So, I am trying so hard to give the organization the benefit of the doubt because let's face it, we all want so bad to feel that they're doing the right thing, that we can stand behind them after all the negative publicity that's happened. We want to be proud to be Blackhawks fans. And this is really making it kind of difficult. Yes, it does seem that there's a lot of holes in that story of not wearing the jerseys because of the Russian players and the safety of their families. We know that other teams and other Russian players where there's they're wearing the jersey and there's really no repercussions. So I have a bit of an alternative theory. It's just a theory. I don't know anything about it, but it's just me trying to kind of figure out why they're handling it the way that they are. So what if your favorite player, your favorite player told them, "Hey, I'm not going to wear that jersey." Do you really, really want to know that your favorite player doesn't want to wear that favorite jersey? I guess what I'm saying is the organization made a decision. We don't really know why. But it actually might, it just might be in the spirit of even more damage control. And I know that it's disappointing. We really wanted them to wear those special jerseys. It stinks that they weren't able to. But there were actually a lot of positive events that came out of the night. So I guess instead of putting, the negative energy into all those bad things, you try to focus on the good that came out of it instead.
Yes, and Gail, honestly, this is why I love you, because you always put such a positive spin on everything, even when things feel really bleak. And I think, we talked about this kind of in the group chat a little bit about, I think my issue with how everything transpired was just the lack of transparency from every angle. Because the fact that Danny Wirtz, we were talking with Greg Boysen about this when he was on the show, a few weeks ago, and they were talking about how they were going to go above and beyond for Pride Night, and they were really excited about that. But then this happened, and then everyone in the organization went radio silent. And by organization, I mean the head, Danny Wirtz, and
Right.
not, yeah, I'm talking about them. So I feel like if you're going to go and have a press conference and tell people this is what we're doing and we're excited to back this and this is going to be a great night and we're going to go all out and it's going to be a big celebration, but then come out with kind of a vague statement that says, security issues and this is, we're not doing this, then I feel like you owe people a little bit more explanation than just that. And like you said, maybe, there is actual security issues. Like, we weren't there. Like, we weren't in those meetings. We don't know what that entails. But I think, just the lack of transparency and the silence is what makes this worse. I think, people will respect you. I've decided, or I've noticed, people respect you more for being open and transparent, even if it's not something they want to hear, or if it's something they disagree with, but at least there's an explanation there. This seems just kind of vague, and it's obviously causing a lot of speculation, and it's, of course, it's going to cause people to think the worst. So that's really my whole issue with this, is that I know a lot of people have said this too, that the Blackhawks have preached transparency a lot since, you know, since their shortcomings and stuff, and this kind of seems like a step back again. So, and, but you know what, Gail, like we talked about this too, as fans and as people, you know, we're always going to spread, you know, positivity, respect, kindness, love, and acceptance for everyone. And you know what, even though I know a lot of people were disappointed in the organization and how that whole thing came about, but, you know, people made the best of it. And that was really nice to see. Like I said, it was still a nice celebration, and, you know, and that's what was really important. And Connor Murphy kind of alluded to that too. Like, it's one thing to wear the jerseys, and yeah, it was disappointing, and the player should have had the choice to be able to wear those jerseys if, you know, because they wanted to. If they wanted to, they should have, you know, been able, that choice should have been theirs. But it's also how, you know, how we proceed with this off the ice too, to make everyone feel welcome and included. So, and you know what, I think fans did a great job of that. So I feel like round of applause to everyone that made the best of that situation. So that's how I view it. It was disappointing from the lack of transparency for sure, and that's what made it so much worse. But like you said, Gail, there were positives to take away from it still. So that's all we can do. Just try to focus on the positives and just continue to be better. You know, that's just, that's how we support each other. And like I said, I'm proud of everyone for making the best of it.
I would have to agree with you though on that lack of transparency. You would think, you know, I guess Danny Wirtz can't come forward and say, well, I'm here to tell you that there's some players that, you know, or whatever. But you're right. You'd think that he could have made some kind of a statement and that he would have felt obligated to do that, no matter what the situation was. So I don't know, maybe more will come out in the future and it'll make more sense eventually. Who knows? But yeah, for now it's over. We can move on.
And last thing I guess I'll say is I do feel bad for like the Russian players on the team, like Philip Kurashev and Anton Hudobin and Nikita Zaitsev, because when you put it like it's a security issue for them, it almost paints them in a bad light. Like Maybe this blame is being placed on them when it's not, you know, when it might not have anything to do with them kind of thing. So I do feel bad that this was also placed in the players' hands. You know, Connor Murphy and Seth Jones and Luke Richardson had to speak on behalf of it when, like you said, It wasn't their call. They're not the, you know, head of management there. So I feel bad in that sense too. So basically, yeah, this whole like lack of transparency thing was just annoying. But like you said, we, you know, it seemed like most people tried to make it as positive as they could despite everything. And yeah, that's all we can continue to do. So, okay. Moving on, we got to talk about the Blackhawks are struggling a little bit right now. And I've had some interesting conversations online on Twitter the past week about the tank. And I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts on this because we've been talking about the tank for a long time, basically all season. That's literally been the theme of the season is tank. And, you know, right now, there's 9 games left, and it's feeling more serious as there's only a 1-point difference between the Blackhawks, the San Jose Sharks, and the Columbus Blue Jackets for last place in the NHL. So it seems like right now, the Blackhawks are sitting third worst in the NHL right now. And it seems like fans are really just on board with the Blackhawks just losing out the rest of the season because the race is so tight and fans want the best odds of landing Connor Bedard. Understandable, right? But let's talk about that tank narrative a little bit here. We talked about, you know, the Blackhawks losing as much as possible, but not really to be worried about it because they were going to lose regardless, you know, like the team's just not very good. But it felt like there was so much time, right? You talk about this in January and you're like, well, they still got, you know, a couple months left, you know, to lose a lot of games. It doesn't matter if they win games here and there. But now, like I said, fans seem to be pretty, you know, steadfast in just wanting them to lose out at this point. Because Columbus is really stinking up the joint, and so is San Jose. San Jose was on a 9-game losing streak here. So, but I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this. Do you think it's wrong, you know, to kind of hope that the Blackhawks pull out a win? Do you think here for the rest of the season, like, is it wrong to hope they pull out wins, or should we hope that they continue to extend this 5-game losing streak that they're currently on?
Yeah, I have never been a fan of the tank. I don't think I ever will be. There's lots of examples of teams that have finished last and still haven't gotten the lottery, the top pick in the draft. Sure. Farther down in the, you know, obviously farther down you are, the higher the percentages of getting a higher pick. Okay, I get that. But this is a lottery. There's no guarantees. And I just don't think that teams should purposely lose just so that they have a slightly higher chance of getting a high pick. You know, we've seen the Blackhawks lose 5 games in a row now. The players are discouraged. That sucks. Sorry, excuse my language. It's no fun for them, and it's no fun for us as fans. So look, you know what? Management has already done their part by totally decimating this team. They have very little talent and experience. It's catching up to them. It's actually amazing that they're competing like they are. So let these guys play, let them learn, let them build their culture and their foundation. Let them, you know, from head coach, Luke Richardson, a couple more wins in these last handful of games isn't going to hurt anyone. You know, because of Davidson's work, the Blackhawks are set up really well. They have multiple good picks, great picks in the next 3 drafts. So, you know, they're going to finish far down enough this season that they're likely going to receive another excellent pick, even if they don't finish last. And even if they do finish last, that number one pick just isn't guaranteed. So no tanking.
Yep, I'm with you, Gail, because I had posted a tweet after the Blackhawks had lost against Minnesota. And I had said, you know, maybe they just need home cooking, you know, to get back on track against Vancouver. Obviously, they lost against Vancouver at home, but that was my point. And oh my gosh, my replies were like, no, we need Bedard. They need to keep this going and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'm with you, Gail. I understand it. I won't be mad if they lose out at this point because it is what it is. They're not a good team. If they lose out, they lose out. Like, whatever. They're not making the playoffs. It is what it is. But I don't think it's wrong to hope they pull out some wins here and there. Like you said, from a personal standpoint, they're fighting, they're battling, and you can see it. And, you know, you could see they're dejected. They could really use, you know, a win here. And also, even if they do pull out a win here, I mean, that doesn't really change their fortunes. They've been third worst in the league basically since December. I mean, nothing has changed, and it won't change their draft stat. Like, they're still in the lottery. And I know some people were like, well, Columbus and San Jose, you know, they have no intention of winning games here. And I'm like, well, if the Hawks can pull out wins, they can too. Like, there's no guarantees here. So yeah, I'm not on team tank either, because it is a crapshoot at the end of the day. You just don't know. It's not like the NFL where if you finish in last, you are going to get the first overall pick. But I mean, we saw in 2019, the New Jersey Devils finished third worst and they won the lottery. They got Jack Hughes. And Ottawa, the Ottawa Senators, were last that year and they got the third overall pick. So like you said, it is a crapshoot. And I understand Montreal and Buffalo had the worst records the last couple of years and ended up with the first pick. So I get it. But like I said, I don't think wins and points are hurting anyone at this point. They're still in the lottery. You just roll with the flow and just, what's going to happen is going to happen with the lottery, you know? So yeah, I don't think it's wrong to hope that they pull out some wins here. Nope, because it doesn't change anything, I don't think, at all.
We're in agreement.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
See if anyone else agrees with us, right?
Yeah, I don't know if many people agree with us here, but you know what? Yeah, like I said, they're still in a good position, guys. They will get a top draft pick. I don't know which order, but they will. Nothing's going to change here, I don't think.
And it's a pretty stacked draft, you know. So, and they're going to be fine. They're going to get somebody good, no matter what.
Exactly, they'll be just fine. And you know what? They got 9 games left. Why not hope for a win here? It's all about entertainment, I think, at this point, even for their sakes. Like, come on, let's have some fun with it.
Yes.
Okay. So we got to talk about another guy kind of like this past week that I think me and you got really excited this past week, because obviously in the midst of a 5-game losing streak, they've only scored 8 goals in their last 6 games. I mean, if you look at it that way, there's not a lot of positives from the offense. But there's one player that is standing out, and that's what made me and you really excited, and that's Lucas Reichel. So let's talk about him a little bit, because we actually haven't really talked about him in a little bit here. So obviously he came in hot after being recalled from Rockford when he had 3 points in 3 games, but he did kind of hit a quiet streak where he had 2 points in 8 games, but now he's on a roll again as he had 2 goals in his last 2 games. So, and honestly, he just looks like a completely different player to me. It's kind of like night and day, even from when he got recalled the first, like, it seems like he's just improving and improving. He just looks different, but I'm saying that in a good way. Like, he's just improving and So what have you noticed from his development in game from the past week from Reichel that makes us just, you know, really excited?
I just love the natural skill, the creativity, his speed, his playmaking ability. And you can definitely, like you said, see a progression. He's getting more confident each and every game. But then you see him, you know, maybe try to make a little bit too pretty of a play, or he'll defer to Athanasiou when he really shouldn't. Or he gets thrown off the puck too easily. He still gets thrown off the puck pretty easy. And these are all things that are going to come with experience, right? So I believe that head coach Luke Richardson is going to be a great coach to show him the way, point out the deficiencies in a positive light. Just the other night, Richardson was talking about the play where Reichel actually got hit along the boards. And if you recall, Mackenzie Entwistle tried to go and defend him. And of that situation, Richardson pointed out that that Reichel really should have gotten the puck in deep, and he never would have been in that position, in that dangerous situation in the first place, to get hit. You know, so that's a learning experience. Or, you know, Richardson's decision, actually, we talked about to keep Reichel at wing versus center, because he's basically just essentially trying to protect him. He doesn't feel like he's really ready to play center yet. So I guess this way he can work on all these other things. I guess I just love the development. I'm excited. I'm really excited to watch him progress. He's going to be really fun to watch in the future. And
so
now.
Much fun. Yeah, he's fun to watch now. You're right. Something that always stands out to me is just the way he skates in the offensive zone is just, oh, it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's like he basically always like glides in untouched. It's a beautiful thing. Like speed in the NHL really is just, you can't teach it. And that kind of stuff it really kind of determines games a lot of the time. So that's just something I've noticed that I really enjoy watching about him. But the other thing is, I feel like Lucas Reichel's had some puck luck issues. I think he could have a lot more goals than he's had, because obviously we've seen some plays where we're like, oh, that's a goal. And then unfortunately it wasn't. So, but like you said, that will come with experience, like you said, and more playing time for sure. And then now that he got goals in back-to-back games, it's kind of like, okay, maybe things are finally clicking. And obviously he's far from a finished product. Like you said, there's still things that we notice where it's kind of like you said, maybe shoot the puck more, don't defer all the time, you know, and he still has some chemistry to build up with some players, but everyone on the team does. That's not just him. But overall, like you said, this guy is fun to watch. Yeah. And yeah, we're not expecting perfection here. We just want to see development. And right now, like I said, he looks like a different player. And we say that in the best way possible. Like he's just getting better and better. And like you said, he needs to gain weight and stuff. That's fine. Yeah, like I said, that's totally fixable. If he had like parts of his games that were not fixable, then that would be a problem. But everything that we're talking about is fixable, and he can only get better, right? So I think that's really exciting. And you, Ben Pope, I will say, from the Chicago Sun-Times, he tweeted that, you know, Reichel has 5 goals and 9 points in 17 games, which is a 24-goal, 43-point pace over 82 games. So,
nice.
Exactly. So, yeah, pretty exciting. I think fans, you know, should be excited about Lucas Reichel. Like you said, already fun to watch. So yeah, I'm really excited about his development. And like I said, I love how he keeps improving week after week. It seems like every week we're always like, oh, that's something new from him. Oh, that's exciting. Like, you know, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him next season in a full 82 game setting. That I think will be really fun to witness. Okay. So obviously, we talked about losses with the tank, and then obviously the positivity regarding Lucas Reichel's development. And now we kind of have to get back to reality a little bit, because Lucas Reichel, I think, makes us forget a lot about, you know, the negativity there, because he is so much fun to watch. But so, like I said, things have gone wrong for the Blackhawks this week. I mean, they're on a 5-game losing streak. Their power play has been abysmal. They've gone 2-for-21 in their last 7 games. The effort didn't always look quite as strong as it has in the past. And obviously now Philip Kurashev and Jared Tenorti are now injured. So it seemed like everything just got worse. But these guys are still battling, like we talked about. You can see it. They're dejected, but they're battling. They really want this. So wins or losses aside, like not having a win in mind, like they need to do this to get a win, but what's one thing you think they should improve on during this final stretch of games here coming up?
I had a hard time with this question because I don't know if I can really pinpoint it to one thing. I can say that recently Luke Richardson talked about, you know, how they just try to concentrate on some small goals each week or each game kind of thing. that they can make as they go. And he also mentioned that the younger guys are going to get an opportunity down the stretch here to kind of prove themselves. So I guess I'm just looking for that continued growth and development as they kind of wind things down here to see those that incremental improvement in the different areas. But I guess if you want to kind of pinpoint one thing, kind of an over encompassing thing in the overall picture, I guess I'd like to see all that manifest itself into scoring some more actual goals. I think that you had pointed out that they've had such a hard time finishing lately in the last six games. I think you said they had scored eight goals overall and just two games with two goals. And then there was even that shutout loss to Colorado Avalanche. So it's been tough. So I guess I would just like to see them kind of finish off with a bit of a flourish here in the way of scoring some more goals.
Do you know what's weird is after the trade deadline, they went on a kind of run where it was like, okay, they're scoring goals despite Kane and despite Domi. And that was pretty encouraging, right? And now it seems like they're struggling.
Catching up to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we figured was going to happen. I mean, they don't have, you know, maybe the goal scoring talent that a lot of the other teams do, but I would say yes, offense should be a focus. You know, that should be, you know, focusing on chemistry and kind of building, you know, all that. But I will say they do need to make the power play a priority. Not that it's gonna, you know, do much for them right now. Like it's not the, you know, the power play is not determining games to get points to get in the playoffs, but the power play has been an issue for years, and sometimes they go on really hot streaks and then it gets really cold again. And this is what they've been doing again. They go on really like hot streaks and then it gets cold. So, and right now, like I said, it is abysmal. So, and we like Lucas Reichel on the first power play unit. And to be honest, with the way it's set up, I don't think there's a reason why they can't. And again, a lot of the times the power play does look really good and it never converts. Unfortunately, that's puck luck, but keep going at it. Just try to improve that a little bit, because that will go a long way even for next season going in knowing, okay, this power play's, you know, got some juice to it. So, yeah, honestly, so I think me and you are on the same page here. Offense. Offenses should be the focus right here. I'm surprised we're not talking about defense, because usually it seemed like every episode we were like, this defense needs to improve here. But honestly, the defense is kind of the furthest thing from my mind at this point. But, hey, what do you know? All right, so to end the game, or to end the game, well, yeah, it kind of is a game here. To end the show here on Blackhawks Banter, we do our shootout round where we have five quick-fire questions and answers. Are you ready, Gail?
I am ready.
To be honest, we actually haven't seen the Blackhawks in a shootout really that much this season. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, you're right. And it is. They've had some overtime, but yeah, a shootout's not so much.
Yeah, not really. But that's okay, because we do shootouts every week, so we still get a dose of Blackhawks shootouts, I guess. Okay, so question number one. So the Blackhawks have the Dallas Stars, the St. Louis Blues, and the New Jersey Devils this week. How many points do they get?
Well, five losses in a row, and we got some tough opponents coming up. But I don't think you're ever going to get me to say 0 points. So I'm going to go with one win out of that. They're going to scrape out one win, which would be 2 points.
I do too. I'll say two, because I said zero last time and they ended up getting four. So I can't say that anymore. So I'm going to say St. Louis is the one they're going to win, because St. Louis has just been spazzy. Dallas, you guys, if you guys have followed me on Twitter, you guys know that Max Domi was my favorite player this season. So I'm actually not looking forward to having to face him. So I'm kind of sad about that. In New Jersey's just a wagon this year. So that's a hard, but the Blackhawks did beat the Bruins. So maybe that win.
Yeah, you just never know. It's the thing. It's like you say, oh, it's a really tough opponent. And then all of a sudden they end up winning that one. It's just so, you know, well, it's hockey.
Right. Exactly. So you know what? I guess maybe don't count them out there. So yeah, I'll go 2 points. I do think it's St. Louis, but we'll see. Question number two. So Philip Kurashev got injured against the Washington Capitals. It was Tom Wilson. If case anyone, you know, wanted to, if anyone's surprised by that. And I like Tom Wilson as a player, but that was not it. And I guess it might be an arm, or they're calling it an upper body injury. They said his arm is in a sling. So that was a tough loss, I think, for the Blackhawks. How do the Blackhawks honestly work without Kurashev?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because Kurashev was really kind of coming into his own as a top six player and really starting to kind of make a difference and gel with Reichel. You know, the two of them kind of had some chemistry. So yeah, this is a tough one. The Blackhawks have currently been using Reichel and Athanasiou, with Athanasiou at center and Twistle on that first line. I don't know, you know, Athanasiou at center and Entwistle on the top line. they've made it clear they don't want Reichel at center. I don't know. I think this happened a little bit in the last game, but I guess I'd like to see them use maybe Tyler Johnson and even Mackenzie Entwistle more at the draws to win more draws and maybe start gaining some possession. I'm not really sure how that would combine because, you know, they kind of want to keep probably Reichel and Athanasiou together. But maybe change up the centers a little bit. Who's taking the draws? Cause those two guys haven't been playing center. And I think that they have the capacity to win more and gain some possession.
Yes. I like that. I think something that sticks out about Kurashev is that, again, you don't realize how much depth you're missing until someone like Kurashev goes down. And then that kind of shows you how important he is to this roster, because obviously they don't have, you know, Kane or Domi to kind of, or Taze even right now to kind of look back or defer to. So, and honestly, Kurashev is someone that makes any line better. Any line that he's on creates offense. And we've kind of seen that all year, even by stats. It kind of shows that. So it hurts from that standpoint. He was doing really well with Lucas Reichel too. And I don't mind Lucas Reichel with Andreas Athanasiou. But yeah, it's just there's right now, it's very tricky. It makes the lines a very big jigsaw puzzle right now, because now players like Entwistle are playing on the first line. And we love Entwistle, but he's not a first line player. But I guess, hey, you know what? They're trying their best here. They're making do with what they can. So
yeah, they don't have a whole lot of choices.
But yeah, I hope that Kurashev can come back. I know there's only 9 games left, but I would like to, hopefully he comes and he's okay to come back. Because like I said, the Hawks, it's just, yeah, that's a big loss for them, to be honest with you. Okay, so like I said, we talked about Reichel. As you know, we highlighted how good he's been doing. But besides Reichel, which Blackhawk player has stood out to you the past kind of 2 weeks for good or bad reasons?
Okay, I'm going to go with a good reason, obviously. And this is kind of a tough one because there's been so many people in and out and injuries and that kind of thing that, like, when somebody gets on a roll, then they're hurt, you know. But I'm going to go with Zhuzhar Kara. Granted, that whole line of Kachuk, Kara, and Anderson has been pretty phenomenal here at the end of the season. They have cooled off a little bit over the past week. But with all these center depth problems, like I just talked about, Kara seems to be able to be counted on to win these draws. And he's just a steady under the radar presence that the team can count on right now. So kudos to Kara.
Yes, Zhuzhar Kara has been doing so well since coming back from his back injury. And I don't know what we expected. Sometimes with back injuries, you're like, it's such a significant injury that you're like, I don't know how he's going to perform, but he's done extremely well. And you know what? I don't know if Zhuzhar Kara will be back next season. He is a free agent. So if these are the last few games he has as a Blackhawk, he's doing a phenomenal job. So it's really good to see, you know, stories like that. I will say Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson reminds me of Lucas Reichel because he's shooting a lot, and unfortunately the puck luck has not been there. He's gone right now 14 games Tyler Johnson has without scoring a goal, and you could tell it's weighing on him. And he's been one of the most consistent point producers for this team. And even when he's not scoring, he just does all the little things. He's a great mentor. He plays well with everyone. He seemingly just gets the best out of everyone he plays with. So yeah, but he stood out to me even in Vancouver. It was like he did everything but score a goal. So I know. So hopefully that changes. But he stood out to me for good reasons too. Unfortunately, or maybe I guess fortunately, it's hard to pick players that have stood out for bad reasons just because the team itself is struggling. It's hard to, you know, point out who exactly is the culprit of that, you know, because it's a team thing. So, but there's still positives here, Blackhawk fans. That's what we're going for. Okay, question number 4. So Connor Murphy actually got a shorthanded goal against Vancouver on his birthday. Who had that on their bingo card? Because I did not. But with that goal, he tied a career-high 6 goals with that. The last time he got 6 goals was during the 2015-16 season when he was with the Arizona Coyotes. So it's been a hot minute. Do you think he will reach goal number 7 in these last 9 games here?
Oh, I sure hope so. He's been such a solid player, true leader. Deserves to have that career high. And you know what? Thanks for bringing that up, Brooke, because I'm really going to be rooting for that.
Yes, I think, you know what? I'm rooting for it. And you know what? Connor Murphy's actually been having a good year, a really good year. I think even more than people realize, because obviously the team is struggling, but he's been doing really well. So I'm going to say no. I don't think he'll reach 7, but I hope he does. So that's what we're going for. That's something to keep an eye on, Blackhawk fans. Really keep a lookout for that. And like I said, we love Connor Murphy. He's the best. Okay. Last question of the shootout round. Again, we're trying to go for fun here because there's only 9 games left. It's been a tough season, you know. We're kind of all going through it. But I did a poll on my Twitter page asking Blackhawk fans who their favorite players were on this team because the so-called fan favorite players are off the team, like Patrick Kane and Alex DeBrincat. So I kind of wanted to gauge where Blackhawk fans, you know, how they were feeling right now. And surprisingly, I got over 50 responses, and I love the, you know, the different answers I got. I thought Connor Murphy was going to run away with it. So I was surprised to see so many different names. And honestly, that speaks to, you know, how easy these players are to root for. So Gail, let's join the discussion here. Who has been your favorite current Blackhawk on the team this year?
What is wrong with all these people? Why would they not pick Connor Murphy? I mean, come on. For all of you that actually listen to us on a regular basis or follow me on Twitter, I don't think you're going to be at all surprised that I would pick Connor Murphy. He's always been one of my favorites. With Taze not playing, Murphy's actually the longest tenured player on the team. I just think he's really embraced that leadership role that comes with that. He speaks to the media a lot, and there's obviously a reason for that because he's good at it. He's a good representative for the organization, but he's also just honest and thoughtful in his responses. I actually appreciated how Murphy was actually the first one to say that he was excited to wear those special warm-up jerseys for Pride Night, even though it was an organizational decision that they didn't. We know that. But then he answered the media for those decisions as well, right? You know, he was part of that video tribute that the team put out about inclusiveness, hockey's for everyone. I understand that that's a PR move, but you know, Murphy wouldn't have done that if he didn't want to. So he's just a sincere, wholesome, quality player, seems to be genuine. And I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to be the first to be on the bandwagon. I would love to see him named captain in the future.
Murphy's one of those players in the league that it's very hard not to like him. There really is, like, nothing, like, what's not to like about Connor Murphy? He's not elite. He's not like Victor Hedman, but he knows exactly who he is as a defenseman, and he plays that role consistently well. And that's why, and plus, he's a really good dude. Really good dude. It's just players like him are so easy to root for. So, and I think players or like people that were responding probably didn't say Murphy because I think everyone just assumes that everyone's favorite player is Connor Murphy. So it's, I think people are trying to be different there, but Connor Murphy still got a lot of votes. And for those wondering, Lucas Reichel, Taylor Radish, and Alex Stalock did get the most mentions. So if in case you guys wanted to know,
but yeah, that was a really fun poll. I enjoyed being a part of that because I think you tagged me on it. So it was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I'll do one every season because I like seeing where Blackhawk fans are at with this. But I will say, someone did mention to me that they don't really have a favorite player, but they like a lot of players on the team. And that's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment, too. Like, they're not really players, I think, that you would go and race to buy their jerseys right this second, but you like them and they're easy to root for. But I will say that probably my favorite player to watch right now is Philip Kurashev. That was the first player that came to my mind, so I'm sticking to it. But honestly, I like everyone on this team. There really isn't anyone I look at that I'm like, I'm not really sure about this guy. So like I said, that speaks to the culture of this team. They're very easy to root for. So, and like I said, I gotta, you know, give shout outs to, you know, Mackenzie Entwistle, Seth Jones, like I said, Connor Murphy, even Jonathan Taze. I think people forget he's still on the team. Jonathan Taze and, like I said, Jujhar Khaira.
Well, we didn't mention that too. And, you know, maybe that'll be a good topic for next week. We didn't mention that, you know, Taze has been skating and, you know, people are thinking that there's a possibility he might come back before the end of the season. So that's definitely a storyline to follow.
Yes, we'll be talking about that next week for sure. Because, like I said, these rebuilds are fun. You never know what's coming your way here. But if you guys have any thoughts about who your favorite Blackhawk is this season that's not named Radish, Stalock, Reichel, Murphy, or Kurashev, let us know. I want to hear all the thoughts here. So that will conclude this week's episode of Blackhawks Banter. Thank you, Gail, for joining us. And please be sure to share us your thoughts on Pride Night, your favorite players, Lucas Reichel's development, what you think the tanking, how you feel about the whole tanking narrative at this point of the season. Please be sure to follow me and Gail on Twitter. Like I said, we like to play those kind of fun games on Twitter about those polls and stuff, and we live tweet every game, so please be sure to follow us. You can follow all of our articles at thehockeywriters.com. We have new articles weekly, and also please be sure to follow our Blackhawks Banter podcast on Anchor and Apple Podcasts. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday. So, and obviously we'll be back again next week, and we're hoping, I know we said we're not team tank, so we are hoping for some points here. I don't know if you guys may agree or disagree, but we'll see what this week brings. So thank you guys again, and we'll see you guys next week.